gentlemen, it is showtime!
You're listening to the Dirt Racing Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Dirt Racing Podcast. Because of last week, up till Wednesday, only two of the things we covered got in. So we're having, with all the new listeners, a throwback show. As part of it, we'll have Buddy Kilfoy from October 17th of 19 on. Chase and Kobe Johnson from November 14th of 19. And Brady Bacon was April 30th of 20. So those three interviews will be on the docket. Results for High Limit. We'll start with qualifying Group A. Quick time was the 19 of Brett Marks at 11.563. Second was the 7BC of Tyler Courtney at 11.578. Third, the 21H of Brady Bacon at 11.642. Fourth was the 57 Kyle Larson at 11.763. Fifth was the 87 of Tim Crawley at 11.777. Sixth was the 16T of Cole Macedo at 11.781. Seventh was the 55 of Chris Windham at 11.788. Eighth was the 9 of Casey Kane at 11.874. Ninth, the 1A of Jacob Allen at 11.961. 10th was the 13 of Justin Peck at 11.971. 11th, the 1 is Brandon Crouch at 11.982. 12th was the 47 of Dale Howard at 11.997. 13th, the 36 of Jason Martin at 11.998. 14th was the law from Parker Price Miller, the 9P, at 12.010. 15th was the 44 Derek Hagar at 12.088. 16th was the 37 Aiden Gatewood at a 12.147. 17th was the G6 of Cody Gardner at a 12.292. Keith Ainsworth in the 28 was 18th at a 12.502. And Van Gurley in the 13G was 19th at a 12.672. Group B was quick time was Brad Sweet in the 49 at 11.266. Second, the 14 of Corey Day at 11.379. Third was the 23B of Brian Bell at 11.512. Fourth, the 88 of Tanner Thorson at 11.516. Fifth was the 5 of Spencer Baston at 11.595. Sixth, the 83 of James McFadden at 11.647. Seventh, the 2MD of Cap Henry at 11.755. Eighth was the 7S of Landon Crawley at 11.878. Ninth was 22nd of Zeb Wise at 11.885. 10th was 24 Rico Abreu at 11.944. 11th, the 8 of Corey Eliason at 11.995. 12th, the 3 of Howard Moore at 12.022. 13th, the 51B of Joby Miller at 12.172. 14th, 79 at Gage Montgomery at a 12 209. 15th was the 16th of Kevin Newton at 12.319. 16th was the 91A of Ernie Ainsworth at a 12.669. 17th was Chase Howard in the 13H at 13.380. 18th with no time was the 47S of Slam and Sammy Sodell. And no time in 19th was a 42 of Cy Lynch. Heat race one went to Tim Crawley, second to Brent Marks, third to Chris Windham, fourth Brendan Crouch, fifth and final transfer was Derek Hagar. Sixth was Jacob Allen, seventh Van Gurley, eighth Cody Gardner, ninth Jason Martin, and tenth to Brady Bacon. Heat race two went to Kyle Larson, second Cole Macedo, third Tyler Courtney, fourth Dale Howard, and fifth and final transfer Casey Kane. Sixth Aiden Gatewood, seventh Justin Peck, eighth Parker Price Miller, and ninth Keith Ainsworth. Heat race number three went to Spencer Mason, second to Brian Bell, third to Cap Henry, fourth Brad Sweet, and fifth and final transfer was Corey Eliason. Sixth was Zeb Wise, seventh Kevin Newton, eighth Joe B. Miller, ninth Chase Howard, and credited with 10th, but did not start with Cy Lynch. In heat race number four went to Tanner Thorson, second Landon Crawley, third James McFadden, fourth Corey Day, fifth and final transfer Howard Moore. Sixth was Ernie Ainsworth, seventh Rico Abreu, eighth Gage Montgomery, and did not start. In ninth was Sammy Swindell. The Dash. Corey Day was your winner, second to Tyler Courtney, third Brad Sweet, fourth Tanner Thorson, fifth Spencer Mason, sixth Kyle Larson, seventh Brent Mark, and eighth to Tim Crawley. In the B main, your winner was Brady Bacon, second Jacob Allen, third Aiden Gatewood, fourth and final transfer Kevin Newton. They were followed by fifth Justin Peck, sixth Rico Abreu, seventh Ernie Ainsworth, eighth Parker Price Miller, ninth Van Gurley, tenth Joe B. Miller, 11th Gage Montgomery, 12th Cody Gardner, 13th Keith Ainsworth, 14th Jason Martin. The wrestler did not finish or did not start. 15th Sammy Slindell, 16th Chase Howard, 17th Zeb Wise, and did not start. And 18th was Cy Lynch. In the A main, your winner was Corey Day, second Tanner Thorson, third was Tyler Courtney, fourth Brad Sweet, fifth Cole Macedo, sixth Spencer Mason, seventh Rich Windham, eighth Brent Marks, ninth James McFadden, 10th the Derek Hagar, 11th Brady Bacon, 12th Cap Henry, 13th Casey Kane, 14th Brendan Crouch, 15th Aiden Gatewood, 16th Corey Eliason, 17th Justin Beck, 18th Parker Price Miller, 19th Landon Crawley, 20th Tower Moore, 21st Rico Abreu, 22nd was Jacob Allen, 23rd Kyle Larson, 24th Kevin Newton, 25th Dale Howard, 26th Brian Bell, 27th Tim Crawley, and 28th Zeb Wise. Over last night at the Southern Iowa Speedway, we'll start with our non-wing sprint cars. Picking up the win was the 93 AJ Johnson, second to T4 Tyler Graves, third Lance Schiller in the 17, fourth, Lance Silvers in the 7X. Fifth, Terry Dodd. Sixth, Mike Mayberry. Terry Dodd was fifth in the 2. Sixth was the 4, Mike Mayberry. And seventh was the 12 of Doug Sylvester. Over in the hobby stocks, your winner was the 10G Dustin Griffiths. Second, the 7B of Eric Stanton. Third, Tyson Overton in 42T. Fourth, the 01 of Austin Barnes. Fifth, Kale Hemsley in 88H. Peyton Stevens was sixth in the 623R. Seventh was Kobe Saban in the 9. Eighth was Rick Van Dusseldorp in the 1R. Tenth, ninth was Jamie Kent in the 24K. Tenth was the 55X of Brad Stevens. 11th was James Pilkington in the 22. 12th, Jim Alexander in the 717. Keaton Gordon was 13th in the 7. 14th was Jake Seitzma in the 88J. 15th, Rick Goldsberry in the 55. And 16th, Blake Stevens in 54. In the sport compacts, your winner was Nathan Moody in 41. Second, Brandon Ellison in the 14A. Third was Garrett Porter in the 746. Fourth was Seth Miners in the 65. Fifth, Kyle Rasdom in the 18A. Sixth was the 2H's James Harding. Seventh, the 2M of Matt Moore. Eighth was the 11 of Caleb Hildebrand. Caitlin Watts in the 2K was ninth. 10th was Greg Franklin in 22. 11th was Brandon Pickney in the 7. Caden Gosselink in 75 was 12th. Caden Pollock in the 27K was 13th. 14th, Colton Zapadol in 1Z. And 15th, Jason Peterson in the 14P. In the stock cars, your winner was Dustin Griffiths in the 10G. Second, 85, Jason McDaniel. Third, the 22R, Todd Reisler. Fourth, Brent Mosman, 55X. Fifth, the 71X of Kaysen Keller. Seventh, Austin Shroggy. Sixth was Austin Shroggy in the 14X. Seventh of each 17 of Steve Byers. Jeff Byers in the 16 with 8. Clinton Goff in 96 was 9th. And 10th was the 35LJ of Lermy Jackson. And finally in the sport mods, your winner was Colton Lizzie. Second, 7V of Carter Vandenberg. Third was McGuire DeYoung in the 30M. Fourth, the 15K of Kyle Hardwood. Fifth, 84B, Trent Brink. Sixth, Will Wolf in 68. Seventh was Trevor Tanner, 33T. Eighth, Jason Van Zomeren in the 3Z. Ryan Dodd in Dodd. In the 9th was 9th and 15th, and 10th was the 8T of Tony Johnson.
Welcome, my guest, live from California right now, getting ready to race tonight, Buddy Kilfoy. How's it going, buddy?
I'm good. Appreciate you having me on there. Yeah, like you said, we're at Trophy Cup this weekend in Tulare. Driving for Charleston Motorsports, so it should be a lot of fun. I always look forward to this event.
Yeah, and then first time I saw you as a big name was 2016 at the Trophy Cup.
Yeah, that was definitely, it feels like a long time ago now. It's 4 years ago already, and that's where I got my, one of my bigger wins in my career was here at the Trophy Cup, my prelim night, so. So hopefully we can repeat that and maybe pick up the title.
Yeah, and then the East Coast got to see you race a lot this year so far.
Yeah, and I've was very fortunate enough to race out in the Midwest and kind of out east for Ed Neumeister and the Lenders with Ray Brooks helping us out. So I'm very fortunate to do that. Kind of a dream of mine to be able to race out in the Midwest and race all over the place in Ohio and a little bit Indiana and stuff like that. And, so we picked up some big wins and a championship, which was some things that I wanted to do. Some of my goals was to get an all-star win and a championship, and I was able to tick those two boxes. So that was really, really cool. And then as of recently, I've been able to drive for Keith Coons a little bit in the midget and ran a sprint car and picked up a win actually in his midget about a month ago, and I've been having some really good finishes, and I'm just having fun right now.
That's the main part of racing, having fun. How did you get your
start? Yeah.
How did you get your start?
Yeah, so I got my start, I was about 5 years old. One of our friends, his son, who's a little bit older than me, he raced the Outlaw carts, so I got into it through them and started running their second car, and ran it for about a year, and then my dad and I decided that we should get our own car, and did that for about 6 or 7 years, and then we ended up getting a non-wing spec sprint when I was 9 and practiced it, and then decided to sell it and go the wing route, and built our own wing sprint car, and kind of just my dad and I, and then I had some help from some good sponsors and of course family, and was able to practice our own wing 360 sprint car when I was 10, and kind of doing that is when Dan Simpson kind of discovered me and practicing at Marysville and stuff like that, and decided to have me race for him and his team the following year when I was 11, because he owned the series King of the West, which is a traveling 410 series here in California. So at the time he owned that series and decided to make a little mini series called the King of the West Lights. It was about 10 races, and I won 4 of them in the championship. And then the next year, because of how young I was 12 the next year, and couldn't do anything sprint car wise, so had to go back to the Outlaw carts for a year. And then when I was 13, my dad and I decided to kind of get our own car out again. And with the help of people like Brian Crockett and other boys, they allowed me to race up in Oregon, Washington area when I was 13, and had some good success up there. And then when I kind of became of age, which would be around 14 now, I was able to race full-time in California for Dan Simpson, and had some good people come on board, like Gary Silva. And so I raced for Dan for... I was 14, 15, and 16 years old a little bit, and then after midway through last year, I started racing for Doug Roots a little bit, and because of him, I got the opportunity to go to New Zealand, which was definitely a lot of fun seeing a new country, because before that, I went to Australia to race too, but New Zealand's also a really, really cool place. And then that leads to this year. I'll sit back a little bit. Last year I was talking with Carson Macedo, because there was a point where I was kind of in between rides, and he was out there racing, and I was asking him, is there something maybe I could get in, or is something free, so with a free spot or whatever. And, he mentioned the lenders, so I gave him a call, and they said, yeah, we'll do a couple races and go from there. And because at the time, they didn't really have a steady driver. They were just having fun racing with a whole bunch of different people. So I did about 6 races for them, and we were really good and fast together. And so Ed and the Lenders and Ray Brooks, they all kind of sat down and decided to, have me back next year full time. So we raced this whole year, and just had a lot of fun, and I was able to, because of them, able to conquer the goals that I was hoping to do. So for next year, I'm not sure what I'm doing 100% yet. I'm still trying to look for some stuff. It's just been, it's been really awesome so far.
And then the Tarletons, did this deal just come together recently for this weekend?
I've been talking to Paul for the last couple years now, Paul Baines, who kind of oversees the operation. I'm always trying to kind of get in the car with them and race together, and it just never would work out where, maybe I was free or maybe they had an open seat. So it was about March or April. We were talking, and they had, he asked me if I could run Trophy Cup for him. I said, yeah, I can do that, because I didn't have anything for Trophy Cup at the time. So it was really cool to finally work out where we could work with each other and race. And I've always wanted to drive for Charlton too. They've very prestigious team, and they're great people, and just great everything. So it's been about 6 or 7 months we planned to do it. And, so it's a long wait, but it's finally here, and I'm looking forward to it.
Who was some of your heroes when you were little, Eric?
I'd say Steve Kinzer definitely was my first hero, because all of my outlaw carts and even my sprint car that my dad and I owned, it was a white body and silver wing with a red number 11. But also I've always been a huge fan of Joe Jr. and Ayrton Senna is one of my biggest heroes right now. I'm just a big fan of all of them and all the different types of racing, especially Formula One. I've just kind of fallen in love with the history of it. So Senna's definitely a hero of mine. So I'd say those three are definitely my heroes.
Where would you like to race that you haven't yet gotten to?
I would say Knoxville is definitely one of them. I haven't been to Knoxville yet. But also I would like to be able to just get out to Pennsylvania and race anywhere in Pennsylvania would be really cool. But honestly, I've never really thought about, where I really want to race. If I haven't been there, that's where I want to, that's where I want to go. Just wherever, whenever. Any new track is fun to me, and even some of the older ones that I've been to. Lawrenceburg's a really fun track and my favorite track, and I wouldn't mind going back there again. I would say anywhere new is somewhere I would love to go.
And then with the, you're in the era with the, where anybody can watch online and didn't have to read in the newspaper. So is that good time to race now for you?
Can you repeat that question?
I mean, talking about where anybody can, your fans can watch you no matter what. They don't have to be at the track.
So my social media would be obviously my name, Michael Kofoid, and for Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. And then we're really fortunate now with these live streams. So like the Cushion, I believe it's the Cushion, is live streaming Trophy Cup and all these great little broadcasters. You can always, if you can't make it, catch us anywhere on those, like Speed Shift or Dirt Vision or the Cushion, and of course my social media.
Are you have any rides to go back overseas this year or not yet?
I'm still working on it. I'd love to go back to New Zealand and hopefully defend my title. Would be really cool. But I'm not 100% sure what my off season is looking like right now, so I'm kind of working on that.
Okay, so if you're an owner, get a hold of you then.
I've been talking to some people and would love to race for the guy Daniel Anderson that I drove for in New Zealand again. Like I said, I just gotta work on some stuff and figure out scheduling. It's get pretty hectic.
Yeah. And how old, you said you were 14 when you started in California with the sprint cars. Is that a normal age for most people?
I was one of the younger ones. But it seems like now 14, 15, if the kid is getting into a sprint car, 14 or 15 is about an age where it's more popular now. 14 to 16, I would say, actually is a popular starting age for someone in a sprint car here in California.
We appreciate your time. Anytime you want to come back on, you're more than welcome.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks.
Bye.
This is the first time we've done two guests together, so here's the interview.
Well, our guest on the Dirt Racing Podcast is Chase and Kobe Johnson, brothers from California. How's it going, guys?
Great, how are you?
Good. Chase, you had a rough weekend last weekend.
Yeah, it didn't go to plan, that's for sure. We got upside down in hot laps the first night, and then the second night, got upside down in qualifying, so definitely was not a good couple of nights, but that's how the racing thing goes sometimes.
We've seen the pictures. What does the axle is broken from the night before? What happened on the rear end?
The axle snapped right by the birdcage. So when that happened, we went up and over.
Not good.
Nope, not good at all.
And then Kobe, you're going to be running a midget coming up, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be running the Hangtown 100 at Placerville with Morris and Morris Insurance. So that'll be real fun. It'll be my first time in a midget, so a little bit unexperienced, but I think I'll be fine in it.
And will there be a chance we get to see you run the Nationals someday like your brother?
I'm hoping so. I mean, I definitely just need some people to believe in me, but I've got a strong group of people around me, and hopefully one day I can get there.
That would be nice, and maybe do the 360 as well.
Yeah, I've done some USAC CRA shows in the non-league 360, but hopefully I can get out to a national race. I'm running Turkey Night, so...
Yeah.
Turkey Night will be a USAC national race.
Yeah.
Other than that, not yet.
And then, of course, Chase has been to Knoxville a bunch.
Yeah. He's a big track guy.
And how was your success this year?
Dude, me and Chase.
Both of you.
I think I had a pretty good season. I had a lot of troubles dealing with motors and chassis and bars, and so I felt like we struggled a lot in the beginning of the nights for most race nights, but towards the end of the nights we always came out strong. So had some ups and downs, but yeah, it worked out really well. Had a couple wins, and then the podium with USAC CRA, and hopefully get on the podium again with USAC.
And then Chase?
We had a good year. I can't complain at all. I think we had nine wins right now. So we've won in every different type of car that I've drove. So it's been a pretty awesome year, and been surrounded by a lot of great people that made it all happen. Definitely couldn't do it with all the different teams that I drive for and different people that I'm associated with. So to do that and to win in all the cars is pretty special. And definitely makes it a special year when you do that. Especially when you have nine wins.
And then you guys, for the 68 team, Sean does his own motors?
Yeah, Sean builds all his own stuff. So that's pretty rare, especially this day and age, and especially with the, you know, how competitive we are and the series we run and the races we run. It's definitely not easy to do, and he does them. And also my dad does all our 360 stuff too. So a lot of home-built engines around us, and a lot of pride and a lot of time put in them too.
And then, what age did you start for Chase?
Both me and Colby started at age 5. We started in the outlaw carts, and I transitioned straight from the outlaw carts to the sprint cars at age 14, and then Colby actually he got a micro sprint ride with Steve Kaiser, so he went from outlaw carts to micro sprints and then to sprint cars.
At Cycleland?
Yeah, we ran Cycleland, Red Bluff, Lakeport, Dixon, Ukiah, pretty much all Northern California outlaw kart tracks. We got quite a bit of them around us, so raced a lot when we were younger, you know, all summer, all winter, because the indoor racing scene's big up here too. So, yeah, I raced a lot when we were younger and in the outlaw carts and enjoyed all that.
Yeah, and then splitting. Are you racing anywhere else this year for sure, Chase?
Well, we're gonna run. Me and Colby will be at the Hangtown 100, running the midgets there, and then after that, I will go down to Bakersfield and run the midget USAC National Midget Race in Bakersfield, and then Turkey Night is that following week. So I'll be running the midget in the sprint car there, and Colby will be there with us in the sprint car as well.
And can you explain the pits to Placerville if somebody's not been there? And it's kind of an uphill climb.
Oh, for yeah, Placerville's a cool place. It's kind of built into a hill. So the track is actually kind of, I guess the easier way to put it on, kind of like the lower side of the hill. The pits and everything are way above the track, and you look straight down onto the track. And it's definitely interesting, and I've never really been to another place like it. I don't think Colby has either, where you kind of look down at the track. So it's definitely really unique and gives you a cool, different, you know, viewing point. That's for sure, being in the pits.
What track would you like to race, first of all, Chase, that you haven't?
What was that?
What track would you like to race you haven't yet?
Oh, a bunch. A bunch. There's a ton of good tracks out there. I think a lot in Pennsylvania and Ohio is kind of a region that I've never been to before. And I think there's also, I've been lucky enough to run in Indiana a couple times. But I think there's still a lot of tracks there that I'd like to run different type of cars. And there's a bunch of different cool racing places and tracks that I'd love to do, and they're definitely on the bucket list for sure.
Maybe overseas too?
Oh yeah, New Zealand is definitely one big one on the bucket list. I think that would be a blast. And Australia as well, running over there. So I know they got the Speed Car and Midget Championship over in New Zealand. That's really big. And then they got the Sprint Cars that are really big over in Australia, so doing one of those would be pretty awesome as well.
And what about you, Colby?
To be honest, I really like all the tracks that USAC with the midgets go to. They run some pretty cool tracks like Jacksonville and such, but yeah, there's a lot of the Wing Sprint Car stuff out there. I'm not too fond of big tracks, but yeah, I really like watching them at like smaller tracks, so one of my favorites for Wing Sprint Car is probably, I like Lawrenceburg's big, but I feel like it's pretty racy, or Eldora's pretty big, but it's pretty racy. But I feel like there's a lot of tracks out there that are just so fast that it gets almost uncompetitive.
Yeah. And then talk about the foundation for Marcus Johnson, if you could.
Yeah, Marcus passed away in 2013, and his mom and dad have created the Marcus Johnson Foundation, which is they help supply shoes to people that don't afford it and can't afford it and aren't in good situations. So they kind of help out on the financial side for kids in need for sports and schools.
I did the research, but I didn't really want to ask the question. I knew about your dirt interview for the We Are Dirt documentary.
Yep.
So I kind of know the backstory.
Yep, exactly. No, those guys did a great job filming and kind of explaining the story. And, you know, there's a lot of filtered out stuff that, a lot of details that kind of are left out, but, that's the story, and that was pretty cool being a part of the We Are Dirt, and a good chance to, you know, share my story and help give some positivity to some other people in deep and dark situations. So yeah, it was cool being a part of it. They did a great job on the film.
And then what's plans for 2020? Up in the air still?
Yeah, I don't think me and Colby really have, you know, too much set in stone for next year. I think we're going to wait until, you know, schedules come out, you know, try our hardest to find the right opportunities in the off season and
sponsorships and whatnot, and just kind of look at schedules and see exactly what we can do, what car owners want to do, and yeah, go from there.
Okay, and then
this is when all the schedules come out.
Yeah. And then do you have a website so people can keep track?
Yeah. I got ChaseJohnsonRacing.com, and then both me and Colby have our Facebook fan page, which is Colby Johnson Racing, and then Chase Johnson Racing on Facebook. And those are updated, you know, almost weekly. So for all the latest news, you could definitely go there. That'd be a great source of information.
And get the gear because it's that holiday time.
Exactly, yeah. We got apparel. We got a lot of Colby Johnson stuff and a lot of Chase Johnson stuff left. So it's hoodie season, so we definitely have hoodies available. And we also have a whole bunch of new stuff coming out soon. So, yeah, there's always always plenty of apparel to keep everyone warm.
I have a couple more questions for each of you.
Go ahead.
What's your favorite track in California?
Man, that's a tough one. I get asked that a lot. I don't really have a favorite. I try not to play favorites, but I think Calistoga is really cool, and also Tulare is really cool too. I mean, and then you have a lot of cool tracks like Ocean and Placerville, but I think, you know, there's so many good ones. I think a favorite for me would probably be Ocean or Tulare. And then I don't know what Colby thinks.
I'm kind of on the same page as Chase here. One of my favorite tracks of all time is actually Watsonville, and it's honestly a really competitive track. It gets slick up to the curb, and it's pretty hammered out in there. So it's kind of my style. And also Tulare's pretty similar. I like running the top a lot. I like when it slicks off to a curb and gets real racy. So those are my two favorite tracks of California. There's a lot of some of the shorter, like short tracks I struggle with a little bit, but I really enjoy tracks like Ocean and Tulare.
Of course, Tulare is a cowboy up, as I call it.
Yeah, we got a lot of those out here. Yeah.
And then, is there, like, do you help each other, like, give pointers when you're both racing against each other?
Yeah, we do a lot. I think, you know, a little bit on the car side as well, you know, trying stuff because, you know, me and Colby are pretty set up, pretty identical. So there's a lot of situations where we're not too sure what's the right decision car setup wise. And, you know, we'll throw something in my car and I'll go out for qualifying, see if it works. Then Colby will get it too. Or if it doesn't, we'll make those adjustments for Colby's and try to make him better. But there's also a lot of times that me and Colby do talk a lot throughout the night. You know, me just asking him, you know, if he's feeling this too, or what he's feeling, or, you know, different questions he has for me of what he's feeling in the car and how I can help or what. But there's a lot of communication throughout the night. We try to help each other the best we can.
Yeah, and also going off what Chicks was saying about how communication works out for both of us. I mean, throughout the whole night, I feel like it's different with Chase compared to other teammates, because I feel like me and Chase kind of not only help each other with the setup, but we really help each other with track lines and where to go and who's doing what and so forth. And if one of us doesn't make the main, we'll be up on the fence giving hand signals to each other. So it's pretty cool having a close connection with Chase and being comfortable enough where we're helping each other out.
Yeah, and then a personal, I've watched, you get to see enough of your guys' races through the page. How did your mom go to every one if you guys are at different places?
There's a lot of time where, I mean, you know, most or every weekend throughout the summer we're at different tracks. So, you know,
she goes to mine because she likes me more.
Yeah, exactly. Mom and Dad go with Colby, and then, you know, they're able to either try to watch my stuff live or live feed through Facebook or race monitor or whatnot to keep updated. But yeah, Mom and Dad go and tackle Colby stuff, and my girlfriend Haley, she comes with me to my stuff. And then you know, we get Grandma Judy in there as well, that comes to one or the other, whatever's closer. So a lot of family involved too.
Thanks for joining us, guys. And good luck for this weekend or for the next couple races.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome.
And if you're going to complain that it got annoying, I had to dress by name. It was so much easier when I asked him a question.
Welcome to guests of the show, Brady Bacon. How's it going, Brady?
Pretty good. We're just kind of trying to kill some time and get through this until racing starts again.
I just noticed you started the iRacing.
Yeah, it finally broke down. I never really had time to do it before, so we got a lot of time now. So I got a wheel and pedals and found a used gaming computer here close by and then making a few laps.
Are you going to do the USAC races then for that?
Yes, we are.
And then
next one's at Virtual Knoxville on Thursday, I believe.
So they're at Knoxville. The Outlaws are at Knoxville. It's big place this week.
Yeah, pretty big. Virtual Knoxville's going to be busy, I guess.
Speaking of Knoxville, last year the state of Iowa was good to you on non-lang.
Yes, it was. Yeah, we were able to win the Corn Belt Nationals, the prelim night and the finale, as well as win the front row challenge or the ultimate challenge there off the Lusso Terry McCall's race from the tail and the non-lang. And got us some pretty good bonus money there. So
once we get back going, I know you're coming to that for sure. Where else?
Yeah, definitely. That's just the full USAC sprint car schedule, and then we just kind of, everything else is kind of to be determined. Right now, we're planning on running the Knoxville Nationals, but we just kind of have to see how the schedules change when we get back racing.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll have a lot of rescheduled dates.
So then probably outdoor, you'll do the Let's Race 2 both?
Yeah, that was scheduled for May. Which that one's going to be, a pretty close cutoff. So hopefully we're back racing by then. That's the plan. We've only basically missed one so far race, USAC race, which would have been scheduled at Lawrenceburg this past Saturday. April, if we, we lose the whole month of April, which looks like we're going to, it's not really that big of a loss. We only raced twice in April last year with all the rain out and stuff. So if we can get racing in May sometime, it'll kind of keep our keep the race teams pretty much normal.
And are you going to do the BC39 that you're a past winner of?
Yeah, that's the plan. We are planning to do that race as well. So
because that's a big weekend.
Media schedule is going to be pretty limited, but that's definitely on the list.
Yeah, and then can you explain when the last race we had was the Shamrock, the Micro, to fans that don't know about the cars?
They're very similar to a sprint car midget, except they are a 600cc motorcycle engine and they're chain driven. The Micro division, the engine's offset a little bit to the left, so your legs kind of go down like you would sit in a normal car, as opposed to sitting straight up and down like a sprint car or midget. The shocks are the same. The way the cars work as far as adjustments and everything that are very similar to a sprint car or midget. So I grew up racing them and enjoy getting back and running them whenever I get a chance.
And then back in the – who was some of your heroes from Oklahoma back in the day?
Obviously my dad raced and was very successful in Oklahoma. Mike Peters ran the Trop Arctic 66 car a lot during my childhood. Andy Hillenberg is from Broken Arrow, same town as I'm from, so we kind of followed them around. Donnie Crawford was always really good at Tulsa Speedway. I think he's won, 11, 12 championships in the 410s at Tulsa Speedway. And then also, when the Outlaws came, I was always a big fan of Steve Kinzer. And then Stevie Smith always ran really well at Oklahoma City, so I remember cheering for him when I was young.
Yeah, and you talk about Oklahoma.
for the 80s and now, about from Dewey to Broken Arrow and on, there's a lot of good drivers in there.
Yeah, you got, you know, Shane Stewart is from Big Speed, Dan Pittman is from Owosso, Christopher Bell is from Norman, Oklahoma City area. So, you know, I think having the strong micro tracks and community helps, you know, develop some good young talent, and then they're able to go on and find success in, you know, in the higher ranks.
And then there's some good ones, like, in the midgets, too.
Yeah, I mean, the open wheel divisions kind of all intertwine a little bit, so usually success in one can translate to the other.
Yeah. And you're also throwing your hat in the promoter ring this year.
Yeah, that's our T-Town Midget Showdown scheduled for May 15th and 16th here at Fort City Raceway in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So right now we're, you know, full steam ahead, and hopefully we can make that race happen. If it happens, it'll be obviously one of the first races after this the shutdown, so it should be really exciting.
Yeah, and then merchandise, explain a little bit about that if you're wanting to sell some.
Yeah, we do have all our merchandise available on our website, freddybacon.com. Obviously, that's our only form of income right now is online orders for that, so we appreciate everyone who's purchased merchandise, and we're getting it out as quick as we can, so that definitely helps support our family when people go online and buy that.
Yeah, and then what's your deal with the 69 this year? I know it's a Hoffman car, but you're more in charge?
It's been the same as it was last year. Unfortunately, lost Richard Hoffman last year, but our arrangement has stayed pretty much the same, except for the loss of Mean Green as our primary sponsor. So we did a lot of work over the winter and massaged on our cars a little bit, trying to make them a little nicer and faster, and we went to Florida and won both nights. So hard work has paid off so far, and hopefully when we get back racing here, we can, you know, pick up where we left off.
I know. So where did you start your racing career at?
I raced quarter midgets when I was young, and then worked up a micro sprint ranks, and then started racing midgets and some champ 362 world sprint cars in Oklahoma when I was 15. And then we, Mike and Megan Eubanks from Telstar Technologies, kind of my first big car owner, really traveled around, and we started racing some USAC stuff in 2006. It's kind of when I got noticed, and we ran really well in a lot of our races up here for them, and kind of got a break there towards the end of the year and ran some for Keith Coons, and then ran for Casey Kane in 07 and 08, and ran some ASCS stuff for a couple years, and then I've come back to the USAC ranks here the last several years.
Yeah. Did you happen to see on Knoxville the Midget Nationals they're showing again?
No, I didn't get to watch that.
They've pulled a bunch of the old races trying to get through this.
Yeah, we did. I think, you know, 2006 was kind of like, that was my first big break, I guess. We ran second both nights at the Knoxville Midget Nationals, so that kind of helped get my name out there.
Yeah. And, of course, you have your family with you always.
Yeah, you know, CJ works the t-shirt trailer, and the kids are in there with her. We're all in our motor home, traveling up and down the road.
Yeah, and then is he going to one day want to race, the little boy?
He's pretty interested in it, so I'm sure he'll wind up racing something here before too long. We'll have to get him a go-kart or something to play around with first, and then see where it goes from there.
Because every time I see them, I just like to see them all the time, including the internet.
Yeah, he likes, he's got little motorcycle he rides, and always plays with his race cars and stuff, so he's pretty into it.
Yeah. I appreciate your time. Hopefully we see you down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah, appreciate it, Brady. Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye.
Once again, we'd like to thank Brady Bacon for this interview. Upcoming racing action till next Wednesday night. On Friday night over at the Marshalltown Speedway will be their 60th season opener with IMSA Modified, Stock Car, Sport Mod, Hobby Stocks, Compacts, and Mod Lights. Also Friday night over at the CJ Speedway will be IMSA Modified, Stock Car, Sport Mods, and Hobby Stocks. Also on Friday night, over at the Knoxville Raceway, night one of two for the World of Outlaws Knoxville Energy Drink Sprint Cars. Also on the card that night will be your Pro Series. And then Saturday, we're back at Knoxville for night two of the Knoxville Energy Drink World of Outlaws Sprint Cars. And the undercard will be the 360s. Also on Saturday night, over at the 34 Raceway, will be their points opener with 305 Sprints, Stock Car, Modifieds, Dirt Late Models, Sport Mods, and Sport Compacts. On Wednesday night, will be week two at Southern Iowa Speedway with free popcorn night in the grandstands in the pits, presented by DeYoung Manufacturing. On the card will be the non-wing sprint cars, stock car, sport mods, hobby stock, and sport compacts. And then also Wednesday night, the midweek racing series continues for High Limit with 81 Speedway on the card. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Dirt Racing Podcast. Hopefully next week we'll be back to our regular results. And it was fun to look back on some interviews from the beginning of the Dirt Racing Podcast. And we'll see you next week. This has been another edition of the Dirt Racing Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Dirt Racing Podcast with Marshall Hayne. Follow us on Twitter at dirt_podcast or on Facebook at the Dirt Racing Podcast.